Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One, that one divine source from whence we've all come. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight I want to speak about a topic that very much involves our mastery and our moving into the new paradigm, and it's examining your multidimensional core of light coherency. Coherency means the ability to cohesively stick together or stay together or to track sequentially the same frequency again and again through each level. So we're going to be looking at consciousness and how we can track ourselves multidimensionally at each level so that that tonality that we carry, that energetic signature that defines who we are as a spirit, can be recognized and seen no matter where we show up in the cosmos. Really, that is our only eternal true identity. Otherwise, what you have is fragmented aspects, which is called in Sanskrit the jivi, or the ego formations of separative identities that sometimes people in the New Age call past lives, or even worse, future lives. So what I want us to own and move into is life eternal and a singular resonancy of vibration and coherency that forms and defines your core essence. So first of all, let's do a little exercise here to bring that in. Take a deep breath and see yourself as one with Source in the unified field. Bring a single ray of divine intention and consciousness down through the monad, the I Am Presence, the soul, all multidimensional aspects of that soul, the overselves, down into your singular point of identity in this present embodiment, aligning as a single column of light all of your thoughts, feelings, intentions, your physical body, and all the sheaths of consciousness. Bring it down to your feet and anchor it into the soul star in the center of the earth. Now expand that light until it fills the totality of your innermost sense of self. As you expand the light, it pushes out like so many little cloud vaporous puffs any negativity, any energy that does not serve your highest divine mandate and purpose. And it simply dissolves back into innocent neutral light of divine source. Now again, define self as a continuum of light awareness from eternity to eternities, birthless, deathless, ever whole, ever pure, ever one with Source. That, beloved, is who we are. Now, this work is going to be going into a much deeper phase because we have now moved into the New Jerusalem, or the landed dove, or the golden age. It's a consciousness state that we're moving into now and will establish as our reality. And it is moved into by shifting how we see self, identify self, and how we express self. And from now on, we want to be operating from our light core coherency. So we are called forward to be light bearers in this world. We must be a bearer of light before we can be a light worker. And a light worker is one who is working light. This would be a definition of Christed consciousness. And we have a mandate of service to all life, regardless of race, creed, color, circumstance, situation, or environment. That's our override, our mandate, our overarching mandate, is to be the light and love of Supreme Source made visible in time and space. So within that, of course, there are all of the individual variables of how each chrysalis of soul expression expresses that. But overall, we are identified in the inner realms of spirit and also in the outer realms by those who can see, not by what our body looks like or what our mouth says or what label we've tacked over our selves, but by the coherency, the light core coherency forms around our overall intention of spirit, our overall soul purpose. We get in contact with that, and it begins to fill and imbue us until there's nothing else but embodied spiritual intent and soul purpose as working light. That's who you are. And otherwise, you find yourself drawn off into one of the bardos, one of those pods of consciousness where souls gravitate to like nature. But you don't have an eternal identity until you have become a whole light being. So we've heard about whole light beings. But so far as I know, I've never heard of anyone speaking about how to be, how to manifest, how to move into that. So tonight I've been guided to speak about that. It's out of your core light coherency that you're going to be attracting your new paradigm playmates. In the old paradigm, we attracted people into our life that were, in a sense, sent to test us, to try us, to strengthen us. And because we had incompleted momentums in which souls came together to work out their karma, their incompletions, within the new paradigm, it is your light core of coherency that attracts to you those souls that are part of that overriding mandate that I just spoke of and function within the various departments in the working out of that. In other words, we are being called to be the externalized hierarchy on this planet. We are the masters that are externalizing from the inner realms, from other planetary systems, and from the caves and the ashrams and the closets, if you will. We are coming out now to walk and to build the new paradigm, the golden age, the externalized teaching mechanisms that will form the new golden age or the new era. We are the masters that we have been waiting that would come, celestial and planetary and intergalactic. So if we could begin to bring everything and sit it inside of our consciousness, instead of separating it out somewhere off-planet or somewhere other than where we are, we will then begin to build light coherency. And it's to own your divinity. It's to move into your Christ self. It is to anchor your awareness and to live, speak, work, and serve from that core. So, in examining your core essence, your overall identifying energy signature is your soul purpose that begins to become your defining, in music we call it your tonic chord. In other words, no matter what melodic frame you would play in a particular symphony, you would return to the tonic chord, that overall harmonic resonance. Is what we're speaking of here. It's said that if you want to know what's inside a person, just put some pressure on them. Squeeze them a little, and you'll find what comes out. And we're designed to, under pressure, manifest the love of Christ. So Jesus, the Christ, is our seed mentor. He was the seed that was planted in the earth, like a pomegranate that grows out of one seed. And now we have become the collective seeded Christ race. So now we have a pomegranate full of beautiful ruby red seeds, and that would be us as the Christ race. So we're an intergalactic movement of spiritual inner awareness now that is manifesting and externalizing in the outer world today. And as we do, the golden age proliferates from what we co-create together as divine playmates, as new paradigm purveyors of the good news of the wholeness of all mankind. And this is, to me, extremely exciting, because you're going to begin to see your spiritual genetics kick into gear as people who have been predestined to come and connect with you find you. This is glorious. And they're going to connect with you and find you through the Christ consciousness grid. So again, let's connect consciously to the Christ consciousness grid. Again, take a deep breath. And find yourself linked in a circle of golden light in your whole light bodies. And see in the center a beautiful golden heart. Let's call that the heart of God, or the heart of Christ, or the sacred heart. And visualize that each of us has a small individualized version of that golden sacred heart that is our spiritual heart. And see it linked to all of the brothers and sisters of light on this planet and multidimensionally and throughout the universes that are marked with that overriding mandate of unconditional loving service to all life waves, all projections. That is our override. And resonate now the oneness that we all share. See us clearly as a circle of golden light. And now blend your individuality into that one center golden heart until we are all unified golden heart space, united as one. That, beloved, is from whence we now create and draw to us the things that enable us to co-create heaven on earth, or the fifth dimensional version of the earth, the fifth world, the divine kingdom. And so, out of that wholeness which cannot be tapped into by the ego, those who are still into service of self at the expense of others do not have access to the Christ consciousness grid. They come under the law of karma, and they are meeting their comeuppance right now. They are meeting exactly in return what they have dealt out. And we now are called apart. We are called those who are the called apart ones who have been consecrated to the higher purpose. We are the ones who have been marked. We are the ones who have a certain configuration in our light field that identifies us. And it's exactly that core light coherency that I've been speaking of that identifies you as one of the marked, one of the elders of the latter day. And so, when we work from the Christ consciousness grid, whatever you need, you just come in your meditation into that unified golden heart, and you send from your spirit forth an intention, a presentation, if you will, whatever it is that you require for your mission. You can send out the call for collaborators, for those who are in the same wavelength, for those who are to come in and support whatever it is your contribution is, your creative collaboration is to be. And as soon as you get clear in your intention what that is, you will begin to draw those people who are your collaborators in manifesting that particular whatever it is. Many of you know that I come from the department within the Ashtar Command of cosmic personology. My field is multidimensional awareness and the integration thereof, and the tracking of lineages, so that people who need to see who they are from topside down, if you will, who they are in terms of the hierarchical placement and function that they hold, could come to, for example, myself or someone that does similar work, and we can tell you who you are, what you are, your lineage, and your function in time and space, and your mission here on Earth. But that doesn't do a thing for anybody unless you take the responsibility to begin to import that knowledge into yourself. And I find now, instead of telling people, I make them look. I direct them to go inside and validate their own knowing. Then they can ask me, of course, if they need some confirmation, because that's a gift that the hierarchy has anointed me to share. But it's more empowering if the information comes through you rather than going to someone and having them tell you about you. Granted, you may not have the languaging that I would use in defining, because this is my field and I know, the field that I'm working in. But you're going to have all the information that you need to do your mission. And not everyone is called to do what I do. So I am trained and skilled in what I do, and likewise you are trained, equipped, and skilled to do whatever your function is. So again, you always have to start with yourself in your life and begin to see what cards have been dealt to you. What are you working with? People often ask me, well, what is my next step? Well, that seems rather obvious. Your next step is whatever's in front of you. That seems perhaps too simple. But if you look at it literally, your next step is whatever is in front of you. If you have an opening, you move into it. If you have a block, you find out what is the block, and you deal with it. And so here are some of the signs that you may not be quite established in your core light coherency, because I think we need reference points to really understand multidimensionality. Otherwise, it really kind of doesn't make much sense to us. So, let's see. What would be some of the signs? Well, one of them would be that you're not always in a consistent vibration of love and light and approachability. Spiritually, do you find yourself, for example, going into moods? getting in a bad mood or getting in a depression, as if that gives you an excuse to depart from the loving heart just because you're depressed? Or do you create illnesses? It's interesting. Jesus in the Course in Miracles says that all sickness is a defense against the truth. How many times do people self-sabotage by creating some sort of a drama around their physical health just to avoid the responsibility of stepping into a greater path? It's kind of an interesting way to look at it. But again, I'm looking at what we create to block our greater manifestation. And I'm not talking about karmic situations or situations where maybe you your whole life is about healing your body. Sometimes that's what happens to a healer. Sometimes their whole life is about healing their body because they're going to be working with others, and so their body is used as a laboratory. So there's many variables here. I'm not saying that everybody who's sick necessarily is creating that to be a block. I hope you can interpret. So excuse me. So another thing that we do sometimes is, and here I'm going to clear some throats here, so excuse me, perhaps clear my own as well. So giving room to harboring negative thoughts. You know, we can tune into all thoughts, and as sensitives we do. We empath and feel and sense energy. It goes with the territory, being a multidimensional being, is that you can resonate and tune into any wavelength and frequency. And we do that often to come into a harmonic where we can see how to serve a person. And you also have to blend with them so that you can communicate on a wavelength they can understand. And so very often the patterns that you've worked through and mastered will be the ones that will draw to you people of a similar nature or similar background, and then you minister to them. So I'm not talking about that. But when you allow negative thoughts to get snagged in your mental body and you begin to identify with them and develop attitude around them, guilt or fear or concern or worry, all those negative patterns, then you're not in core coherency. You stepped into misidentifying self with the fleeting, transitory, and passing thought waves. You see? So always we are identifying. Always we're discerning. Always we're looking from the spiritual consciousness to see what is this impression. We're like spiders in the center of a web, where everything that touches our web, we have to be aware of what is it. Is it dinner or is it an invader? You'd be using the spider's point of view. But in our point of view, we have to discern, is this coming in for us to serve? Or is this an extraneous energy that's not for us, but we just let it pass on through? Because we can only minister to those that we are appointed and anointed to minister to. For example, rarely are you called to minister in an area where you don't have training and experience. Just doesn't happen. So, for example, if you're going to learn how to fly a plane, you better go and learn under a trained pilot. You're not going to go to a bus driver to learn how to fly a plane. So if you take that same principle and apply it on more and more and more subtle levels, you'll see that our core essence and purpose, that core resonant light field, also determines our field of service, our arena of light bearing and light working. And for example, my arena and ordained, anointed light coherency works in the field of the collective Messiah, or those closet Christs waiting to come forth upon the world stage. That's my field, working with the light bearers of the world. So I don't try to go and do, feeding the homeless down in the local shelter. I could do that. I certainly wouldn't, be adverse to doing that. But that's not my field. And if I'm doing that, then I'm not doing this. So you also need to discern what is your field of service. I often say we must live, work, speak, and teach from our highest levels without compromise. Doesn't mean that we act all hoity-toity and can't, talk in a language that people can relate to, but it means that frequency of awareness, we don't let it slip and get, in other words, don't wimp out, don't waffle, don't waver, and don't flicker in that life coherency wave. Be centered core light. No matter what goes on around you, stay centered, integrated, and aligned. And that exercise of calling yourself forward is a continuum of divine light from the highest positive realms of spirit, where you begin to identify with source and just see the consciousness as an extension, as a ray, but never as a departure. You could see yourself as a ray of the sun, identical with the sun, but simply extending that radiance outward. That is the way to look at self, so that you don't get a sense that you're separated and you have to become whatever. And all the many labels that we put on ourselves, which actually keeps us always just short of manifesting that whole light coherency. So another metaphor for our work, most of you have seen a Cinemax theater where they have 10 or more screens. You enter into the big, movie lobby, And they have all these separate movies that you can go into and see. So let's imagine that as the school of consciousness, let's say the universal school of consciousness. And different souls will go in, drawn into different screening rooms to see different scenarios. Now, if you think of that in terms of consciousness schools, you'll find that this represents many lifetimes in which we have focused on one particular type of holodeck experience or identifying with one particular dramatic enactment or screenplay or comedy of errors, whatever. And the Christ consciousness, the light bearer, walks into this school of consciousness and is drawn to enter into one of those particular screening rooms where souls have become entrapped. And through mediating and bridging and extending forgiveness and non-judgmental grace and understanding, a ray of light enables those who are willing to find their way out of that theater and into the light and freedom. And that's what we do as light bearers. We walk into the various arenas and where people have become entrapped in consciousness. And the Christ consciousness within us is the mediator of loving forgiveness, non-judgmental grace, and understanding. And this is the space of consciousness that we hold, that we call Christ consciousness. And that is always the one that points the way to freedom. Now, another thing, perhaps we could say, at this point, but I actually meet people, not too many, thank God, but many who would like to completely bypass Jesus, the Christ, and move right to Christ consciousness by ignoring the Master. Didn't Jesus say, "I am the door"? Okay? "I am the door into the sheepfold. I have other sheep, not of this fold," speaking of other galactic programs. "But on earth, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. And the sheep that are marked for me will not listen to anyone else. They will come through my door." Okay, what does that mean? It means the presentation of the Christ consciousness, which is what I've just said. It is the consciousness of grace and love. And it is that which bypasses the law of karma, reincarnation, and salvation through human works. It is a gift of grace. So to move into that Christ consciousness matrix, we have to bypass that tendency of wanting and believing that we can do it all by ourselves without any help. It actually comes out of the rebellious arrogance of the ego, the separated self, that doesn't want to enter and bow the knee in humility and reverence, respect, and teachableness before the Christ or the Master. So again and again, a master always has a master. You cannot bypass that. You will serve a master, be it the Lord of Darkness or the Lord of Light, be it the ego and service to self or the Christ consciousness and universal service to all life. So even by not making a choice, you've already made a choice by default. And the default on the physical planet, since we're under a fallen program here that's been set at variance to the higher kingdom mandate, because of that, you can only come into that resonant field of deliverance from entrapment through the Master that was called Jesus the Christ. So it's that Christ consciousness that of Jesus that forms the matrix that allows you to enter the door of your own Christ consciousness within. So you have the outer anchoring point in time and space, i.e. the actual physical incarnation of Jesus, who, by the way, has resurrected and lives. He's not dead. He's in a whole body light consciousness that's multidimensional. Whoever you are, there he is. And he is the master that enables you to bypass all of the lower laws that have kept people in bondage. And again, it's not so much the name that you call that, as long as that is the intention and the connection that you have in spirit. But the name does allow you to track that essence in time and space. And it is the name Jesus or Yeshua, because that is the name of the function that brought salvation to this planet. So the name Sananda applies to a higher aspect. It was not Sananda that came and fulfilled the function of salvation. It was Yeshua ben Joseph in Israel. So again, you have to look at what's anchored, where it's anchored, the name of that anchoring, and the specific function that that anchoring is designed to allow you to have access to. So in a sense, we are also anchoring points of our core mandate and essence, our particular resonance field. Many times in my workshops, I would have people get in contact with who they are as an I am. And we would work and work and work until finally they could say, in whole light coherency, I am, and then follow it with a statement of their real, true self. And when they hit it, we would all in the room, we would get goosebumps, and many times we'd all burst into tears, because it was so powerful when a soul gets in contact with who they really are. So, I get excited when I talk about this, because it's my absolute favorite topic in the whole world. And so now, as you begin to move into the new paradigm, you're going to be drawing these new paradigm relationships, these playmates, these collaborators, these co-workers that aren't going to have anything to do with the karma drama. They're going to be coming in and stepping right in stride with you. They're going to have the same mandate that burns in their heart as a passion, the same love for God, the same love for humanity, the same integrity that they function out of. And in every encounter of this nature, you have to discern and see you've got something to give, bestow, and impart to that relationship, because it's going to be an equal exchange. That's another thing. It's an equal exchange between equals. You're from the same playing field. I like to say you meet each other heart to heart, eyeball to eyeball. You know, it's no upper, higher, or lower. It's an even playing field. And then you are to receive and have awakened or more fully anchored something in awareness or accessibility or proficiency through this encounter. And then you come together, and in attuning to spirit individually and together, you discern what that next step is in the implementation of your particular piece of, well, the gift you've come to bring into the new paradigm. We are building now the new earth. I spoke to a wonderful master the other day that is, I believe, one of the movers and shakers in the field of completely revolutionizing business protocol and financial protocols, moving from competition and greed to cooperative sharing and co-creating, again, out of the higher paradigm. We talked for 2 hours on the phone. It was so exciting. And he's working, you know, with, you know, the level of Donald Trump and Nobel Prize winning people and people that are the high players, many of whom are also the working light on the planet. So they come in all shapes, sizes, forms, colors, and definitions. But again, you will know your fellow co-workers and light bearers by their core light coherency. It's like, what is their core? What is their essence? What is their soul purpose? And the true teacher today is the person who embodies whatever it is they are trying to speak. And when you don't embody it, you absolutely cannot teach it. You have to be in that space, at least during the time of that transmission, to be able to quicken and activate it in others. Now, because we are multidimensional and we are highly empathetic and sensitive, we will feel and empath everything that moves across the particular areas that we're particularly open to. For example, yesterday we had we had an earthquake here in Southern California, which is no biggie for us. We have 10,000 a year. But this was a big enough one that it jolted and shook back and forth for a while. And immediately I called myself forward from exactly as I did when we started the show. And I said, and I anchor solid core light essence right deep down into the center of this earth. And in the name of Jesus the Christ, I bring stabilization and balance to the tectonic plates. And I just resonated that core, just held it steady. Because when an earthquake occurs, you don't know whether you're going to go home to meet your maker in the next instant, or your house is going to collapse on your head. It's one of those things that really lets you know how out of control you really are and how in control a higher power is. And so it brings a certain humility present immediately. But this is something you can do when you're in an area where there is a tectonic plate instability. Here on the West Coast, we have the most unstable plates for many reasons. You can resonate that core whole light coherency as a column of light and just plant yourself like a great big thumbtack and bring that light down through your body and be the peace of God in that situation. You can do that in all kinds of circumstances, and absolutely the tornado or the whatever won't even find you. By the way, people have asked me recently, when is there going to be an evacuation? When is, you know, for some reason, well, I suppose it's because of earlier channeled writings, people have the impression that outer space beings are going to come and somehow beam them up off the planet, and only a few of them, and then all the rest are going to get whatever is happening. That isn't a very win-win happy solution in my understanding, if you think about it. Nor is it practical, because it completely, it isn't the way things work. Let me tell you how we work in the Ashtar Command. We shift you in your vibratory wavelength slightly off the time space phase that you happen to be pulsating as a light hologram in, as a fractal of the one. You're resonating in a particular time space resonant field. We can shift that in a nanosecond without you even knowing it. I've had that to happen to me time and time again. And, you know, it happens and things fall down around you, but you're fine. Or the tornado goes around your house and you're fine. Or the flood, you know, just doesn't happen to come into your area and you're fine. Doesn't happen in every case, because some people have karma. Some people, it's their time to leave the body. Nobody leaves their body without their permission. And when it's your time to depart the physical manifestation, you're going to depart it one way or the other. So this is not something that we need to be concerned about. What we need to be concerned about is that we have established ourselves as such a consistent light coherency core that we don't lose identity when we move from this shell or this suit of clothes that we call our body into another suit of clothes, which we would call a body of another density, that we still remain the same person, the same individual light bearer, the same working light. It doesn't change. We're the same. If you don't do that, what happens is that you find yourself sucked back to where you have your identification, and that's why sometimes people get earthbound. They hang out right where they used to live, or they go back to their house or whatever. And that's sad because it's a person who has never built a sense of identity beyond their physical life and their physical body. I don't think anyone that's listening to my show at this point could be in that category, but you never know. I mean, where have you been placing your attention and your seed? Because that is what you're going to harvest. So if you want to develop a sense of eternal presence, you got to start practicing identifying yourself as eternal light now, as the presence of God on earth now. You got to bring it from up there and in your head and in your ideals down into your guts, down into your genitals, down into your feet, down into your walk, your talk, your act, your life. It's got to be automatic. Whatever squeezes you, the name of God's got to come out of your mouth. The love of God has got to pour out of your heart. The wisdom of God's got to pour out of your speech and your mind. You get it? It's got to be in you to where it's so automatic. There's a saying in India, if you want to find out a person's religion, sneak up on them when they're asleep and hit their big toe with a hammer and see whose name they call out. So train yourself so that waking or sleeping, sweetness comes out of you. The name of God spoken with adoration, not as a curse word, but with absolute reverence, absolute love, absolute humility. That has got to come out of us so that we're sweetness all over. We're nectar divine on every level of our being. And even when we feel rotten, we feel awful, we all have days when we're kind of under the weather. We're not totally as feeling as perky as other days. That just goes with the territory. But if we can just allow that love and sweetness not to be dampened by the transitory states of the physical, the emotional, and the mental waves that we all inherit in these lower worlds and in these bodies, then we will have moved into a true state of saintliness, which is, of course, a person who's resonating consistent light coherency. So our new paradigm genetics are kicking into gear now. And sometimes light workers have spoken of the 12-strand DNA. I just call it new paradigm genetics. But these are getting quickened now and activated and vibrating as so many alive fiber optics within our awareness, which opens us to totally new ways of seeing and being and expressing and new experiences. But part of what happens in the new experiencing is that we have a sense of loss. We don't fit anymore. We feel like there's nothing more for us to do. I've had several people call me this week that were suicidal because they felt their lives were over. And it's like, no. It's just the relinquishing of the old and outworn. You're done with that. Let it go. You're not losing. You're jettisoning the excess baggage because you've got a whole new wardrobe where you're going. You've got a new house. You've got a new car. You've got new furniture. You've got all new stuff waiting for you. So jettison the old, old cargo. And come. I know it says in the Bible, come naked like a little child. That's what that means. You know, come innocent without all your stuff. And let the Lord provide for you, you know. That's the new paradigm. And, okay, what's your part in it? Your part in it is to stay centered and clear and balanced. So in observing your life, if you're out of balance, whatever is out of balance, bring it into balance. Or get somebody that is an expert in that field to assist you in bringing it into balance. If you have, for example, if you are in physical habit patterns that are depleting your energy and draining your life force, your next step is to deal with them and get over them. And you know what they are. They're the things that dissipate. They don't build vitality. They don't contribute to your light field. They're dissipating and wasting energy. Watch when you are upset. The next time you're upset or you're telling somebody your victim story or you're talking, you're telling your sad tale. Notice how your throat chakra starts to close down and your voice starts to crack and get squeaky. Why is that? It's because your voice is the trumpet of God. And it's going to close down and not let that ego squeak through you. It's going to try to stop that as much as it can. I've noticed people that stutter. They don't stutter when they're resonating the truth and they're integrated with their spiritual self. They stutter when they're in their mental body or they're in their lower self, their emotional, insecure self. So your speech and your heart and your core resonancy are all very consistent. There's those that examine reverse speech, and there often you can see in the reverse patterns of speech, you know, when they play the record backwards or the music backwards or they study the tonality of a voice, they can tell when a person is speaking a lie and has a double agenda or double message and when they're speaking from core, pure, coherent truth. So every single one of us that is light, working light, all of us, me included, everybody, every one of us, is working to fine-tune and bring pure, clear transmission of those divine throne realms, those imperishable God worlds, those star realms that we come from, where there's no birth and no death and no declination, no entropy, no collapse, but life more abundant, ever opening and ever expanding into more and more lovely and beautiful patterning. We are here as walking beauty. We are the beauty of God made manifest. And so everything that we do is beautiful and gives glory and reflects the beauty and the glory of the divine source. And so that is how we are creating. Wonderful teachers like Dvinvalo Melchizedek have brought forward the teaching of Merkaba. And Merkaba was simply to give us a reference point of coherency as we move multidimensionally, which would eventually develop into a light body. Nowadays, he doesn't work so much with Merkaba. He's teaching us to live from heart coherency, and that's exactly what I'm speaking about. It's the Merkaba was simply a means to get all your energies integrated in one place so that you can begin to track your core resonant field, your core essence. And now we don't need the Merkaba. If we've gotten in touch with what the Merkaba was leading us to, we have found our core of purpose, our core light coherency, and now it's just being consistent with it. Some of the ways that I have spoken about of keeping it consistent in previous shows is to watch what you identify yourself with and watch who you spend time with. And I know in my case, I watch very carefully what I give vocal agreement to. I have used to be a person that never wanted to hurt anybody's feelings. I always wanted to find common ground, even to my detriment sometimes. And some of you do the same thing. So now I'm bringing myself up short, and if someone is making a statement that's coming out of their ego or their judgment or their slandering or saying something that I just totally do not want to give the impression I'm agreeing with, I'll say, I have a different spin on that, or I have a different perspective on that, or no, I can't say that I come into agreement with that, or no, I'm not going to fortify that by coming into agreement with it. In other words, I don't make the person wrong. I simply state what I am and I am not coming into participating with. And you can do that too. So it's learning how to speak in a different way that doesn't make the person feel offended or rejected. I mean, sometimes they will anyway. But it lets people know and come to respect that these are your boundaries. These are the parameters that you're dealing with. And I'm dealing in light, in love, and the unified heart field. So don't come to me and complain about somebody. You know, don't give me your victim story. I don't want to hear it. That's not who they are. And that's not who you are. That's the ego karma drama. Get out of it. Get over it. Rise above it. See it from the higher consciousness. Heal it with your love, with your compassion, with your understanding. See through that ego to the Christ that dwells behind. It's kind of like, you know, kids that come to your, here in North America we have Halloween, okay? You'll have a beautiful, sweet child dressed like a devil or a witch, or not that witches are bad, but they'll come with a scary costume. But you know, that's just the outer facade. Underneath that is a cute little kid, and all the kid wants is some candy, okay? So likewise, I look at people when they're in their ego mode in the same way. They've got this scary mask on, but just look beyond the mask and know there's a child of God. There's a pure incarnation of Source behind that ego. And so ignore the ego. Don't even pay any attention to it. Don't put energy to it. Look through it to that pure Christ begging you for salvation. And you can only step into freedom by freeing others, and that other can only step into freedom through the grace of your Christ consciousness when it encounters you. So be the grace of the Christ consciousness. Come out of the personal service to self closet and concern with self and one's self preservation that keeps us so small and limited, and move into absolutely boundless love and embracement and light. The order of Melchizedek that we all come through is the order that trains souls to minister in the Christ consciousness and to deliver those who are entrapped in nightmarish scenarios, and to counsel and train them to walk in the light and the coherency of integrated truth. So that's, again, part of your work. Often they come through as counselors, teachers, and healers. The spiritual traveler consciousness then takes that soul and gives it the spiritual keys to learn how to establish and live and move in multidimensional whole-like coherency upon each plane while maintaining the integrity of the spirit kernel without getting entrapped in those levels, and to travel beyond in a total light field. And so those of you that are working with the consciousness that I share in this show, you're all part of the Order of Melchizedek. The spiritual traveler is working with all of you. You are all part of that training mechanism, and you are all here as part of that Christ race that's been seeded to manifest and to externalize as the hierarchy of light at this time on the planet. We're not stopping here, beloved. We are going to be supervising the souls that are graduating into the fifth dimension of the new earth, and then we are going to be moving forth as a Christ race, as a family of light, to go forth to adorn and bring beauty and creative touch to worlds yet to be born. We're moving into the Shekinah universe, which is the universe of the Holy Spirit. So that is where we're headed, beloved. We are always going to be serving and extending the glory and light and wholeness of God wherever we are. It's eternal work. It's an eternal covenant that we have in our embracement, in our core essence, in our overarching override of service to life, all dimensions, all projections, all waves, in the honoring and name of that which we know in this time space as the Christ. And so, beloved, step forth. You are royalty. You are the kings and queens, the princes and princesses of the divine throne worlds. Walk in humility and service to all life, because it's only in bending low that we stand tall in the kingdom realms. So put on your apron like Jesus, and kneel down and wash the feet of even the lowliest, seeing only the Christ, the face of the Beloved, in all that you minister to. Tonight we'll go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. Anai Hu. Anah.